Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome, everybody. You are joining us for BIB Radio. I am your host, CC Harry, and I am joined with my co-host, Brother Robert 11X. Are you there, Robert?
I sure am, CC. How are you?
I am excellent. So we are so excited to be on tonight. We have a wonderful lady by the name of Laura Lewis. I'm sure she goes by Dr. Laura. But she's going to explain to us her work as an entrepreneur and a mental health expert. We will talk with her about relationships, entrepreneurialism, and all sorts of things, and also find out what it is that she has to offer to her listening audience. Do we have you on the line, Dr. Laura?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, perfect. Welcome to our show. Let us know and let our listening audience know about what it is that you do as an entrepreneur.
Sure. So I'm a psychologist. I have a private practice called Atlanta Couple Therapy. You can find out more information about me at atlantacoupletherapy.com. Basically, what I do is I do therapy. I do couples counseling. I work with clients in private practice. I also do speaking all over the U.S. and pretty much all over the world. I've done about 43 speaking engagements last year on intimacy, infidelity, communication. Those are some of the areas I talk about. And I also do couples retreats.
Oh, my goodness. That is excellent. Now, how many, have you ever counseled couples as entrepreneurs? Have you ever done anything like that before?
Yes, I actually have a few couples that I'm working with right now that are entrepreneurs. Being in the Atlanta area, it's a lot of people who are just in business for themselves, and different challenges that are presented for couples who are in business together, or one person is in business and the other person is like trying to support them while at the same time working a job.
Right, right. Now that is something that Robert and I stay on because we see many different issues concerning our people becoming entrepreneurs. And some of that struggle can be if your spouse is working a 9-to-5 and then you are working to put together your dream and you may have quit a job. Your spouse may be looking at you like, what are you doing? I mean, you're ruining our lives and that kind of thing. So we want to be able to help people as couples through these types of situations, because at that time it seems like the other one has changed, you know, like oh my goodness, this person has changed. We had this perfect thing laid out for our family, and now my husband, now he wants to build rocket ships, and I don't know why he wants to build rocket ships. And then the wife is just so confused by all that. So I could see it definitely being an issue. We actually had a guest on our show like that. Her son is who she's really backing right now as an entrepreneur. But she recently became an entrepreneur, but her husband does not support it, and so they are on the verge of divorce.
Couples definitely can get into that place where it's just it's conflict. That's a lot. Like, that's one of the areas I work a lot in, is helping people in both positions, the partner and then also the mate who is working in the business.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, Robert, what were you trying to say?
And see, the thing about the uniqueness about this situation, I want to say, for lack of better words, problem in the relationship as it pertains to the subject that we're talking about is also the gender role part. When you're talking about the man typically being the head of the household, that is aspiring to be an entrepreneur, that's one thing. But then when you flip the script, now you got the woman who is aspiring to be an entrepreneur, but the head is not with it. So now you got a whole new set of dynamics from the male to the female, especially when you're talking about that's for those that are a couple in a relationship.
Absolutely. Gender roles absolutely can play a big role, whether the gender roles are reversed or whether it's a situation where the male is the main provider, the female is kind of doing her own thing with the business. Gender roles play a huge role. And that's where communication comes in. Communication is so critical.
Right.
Well, so many people don't have that communication. That's the problem. I mean, it's not something that we are actually taught, especially when we talk about our community, because that's what this show deals with. We don't talk about people of color, brown people, or anything like that. We are talking about black people, period, point blank. And I'm unapologetically black on our show because we know, right, we know that our people have had some barriers sustaining and maintaining just the simple things in life. So we just have to make that clear each and every time, and you know, we don't mind doing that. You know, and with our communication, it's so scattered because, you know, we look at these images on television, we look at our friends or our associates, and we are so much trying to keep up with the Joneses and put together this image of what we feel this family thing should look like, you know, from the workplace to the bedroom and everything in between. We are so lost in trying to put that together because we're trying to model those around us, because God knows a lot of times, and Robert and I were talking about this, a lot of times we haven't had those role models as young people, because we've been with families who have been separated or divorced or never even married for so many generations behind, you know. So what do you follow if you haven't had anything to lead you? You know, it can be very confusing.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I do when I first start working with a couple in that initial session. That's one of the things we explore, is their family history, because your family history is going to play a role in how you connect with your mate. And particularly in the black community, you're right, we don't have a whole lot of marriage models. And so that's one of the things that comes up when I do that initial assessment, is it can be difficult to play a role when you never saw the role of wife or husband be modeled to you. And so we start at the ground level.
Now that's good work. Now, have you seen where, because I'm pretty sure it's pretty messy in the beginning. I mean, because I know myself, I know I have issues. Like, you know, my parents got divorced when I was in the fourth grade. So, I mean, that didn't leave me much hope for any type of role model situation. So that means me as an adult, grown woman, I would actually have to be seeking out that help and that training on purpose. Because if I want to have a successful relationship, whether it be, you know, a relationship with somebody who's an entrepreneur or just a relationship in general, I would have to seek that out because it's destined for doom. Because I don't even know what to look for. I don't know. I just don't really know much of anything because I haven't had any type of anything to pattern after. So I would have to seek this out from somebody like yourself.
Yes, and I can relate a lot to what you described because in my own family of origin, I saw a lot of divorce. I kind of got a front row seat in childhood of seeing everybody in my family divorced pretty much. My grandparents, my parents, aunts, uncles, my siblings. And so that's what created in me some real curiosity about doing this work, about doing the work of transforming relationships. And there were some key things that I found in terms of couples who are able to be resilient and get through difficult times in their marriage.
That's really important that you said that. Now, again, you know, we always are looking for somebody to follow. I think as black people in general, because we've been so scattered, as the Bible says, we've been so scattered. We're always looking for somebody to follow, but we must know that we are individually created and our relationships are individual relationships. We can't necessarily expect to look like that person across the street because our relationship is so individual. What do you do to help people understand the individuality of their particular relationship?
Well, one of the things that I do is I help the couple to establish some boundaries in terms of keeping everybody out their business. I find that, like, sometimes what I see is that people, like, I may see a couple and say they're dealing with something like infidelity. Then that person may start to tell their friends what's going on or tell mom, tell dad, and before they know it, the whole family is involved in some of the deeper details. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to establish some clear boundaries.
Right. Now, that is important what you said because, you know, like in relationships, people get upset and they, you know, lash out and they like to have an ear wherever they can get one, not realizing, okay, so you know what? You're telling grandma about what he did or what you didn't like. So grandma is setting up a thing in her heart about this person. Whereas you may forgive him, grandma is not going to forgive him anymore. So
we
do need to keep everybody out of our business. Now, with that being said, there's also the dynamic of social media, you know, because I see people in committed relationships all the time getting on social media and venting, and it's like, oh my gosh, these people definitely need like some serious like counseling or something, because you should not be doing that on Facebook. And I don't know why people do it, but they definitely need to seek out some professional counseling to get their needs met and not on social media, because that can be so dangerous.
It really can. And I recently did, last year I did a radio interview about the impact of social media on relationships. And I can tell you the number of fights, arguments that have broken off in my office over something that happened over social media. Why are you liking her page, or why are you friends with your ex on Facebook? And so just as we have like boundaries like in real life with people, we also have to establish clear boundaries on what's acceptable, what's not acceptable in terms of the relationship when it comes to social media.
I got two questions for you. Two questions. One is related to social media. And I just posted a post on social media myself here recently. I said that if you spend more time on social media, I asked the question, do you spend more time on social media than what you do talking to your mate? You see, and there's a lot of people who responded to it, but do you think that could be an issue in relationships where you find people it's like social media has become the new TV time.
Absolutely. And so technology, we have to be mindful that as we advance in technology, there's some areas that technology actually takes us away from really truly connecting with our mates. And so when I'm working with a couple, either one-on-one or in my seminars, one of the things that I encourage them to do is to have at least 1 hour every night where it's a technology-free zone, where we're looking eyeball to eyeball. We don't have our television, our computer, our phones on, but it's just about just communication and connecting with one another.
At least 1 hour.
At least an hour.
That's funny to me. I laugh about that. You know, when you say it, at least 1 hour to have an eyeball-to-eyeball conversation with your mate, somebody that you're going to be together with for, God willing, the rest of your life. And if today that it has come to that point to where we only will allocate an hour out of the 24 hours in a day to one another, I think something's wrong with that picture. Now, that's just my opinion. Now, the other point that I wanted to talk about was the actual effective communication, because it's so many dynamics in communication, whether it be body language, eye, facial expressions, certain physical movements say a lot, the eyes say a lot. The sighing, when a person is sighing, it says a lot without saying any words. And then there's verbal communication. So can you speak a little bit on all those three those issues I just raised and how they affect relationships?
Sure. In my book, Marital Peace, I have a whole chapter where I talk all about communication, because communication is like actually the number one reason why couples divorce. It's not intimacy, it's not infidelity, it's not money. Those topics are high up there in terms of reasons why couples separate, but communication is the number one issue. And so when I'm working with couples, I talk to them about nonverbal communication, because that's really 80 to 90% of communication is nonverbal. It's not actually the words that we say, but it's all of those things that you describe, body language, tone, all of that.
Right. And tone,
wow.
Tone is, see, vibration, tone is vibration. And vibration moves things in a violent way or in a very smooth way. And most of us don't really understand the magnitude or the strength of our tone in which we say a thing. And so, I mean, you know, they always say a scorned woman is hell has no fury like a scorned woman. And when that woman starts lashing out with those words, and even today men do it too. I mean, men do it too. But we start lashing out at our mates with, you know, intimate dialogues that we had with one another, and now we taking that and it's now a weapon. And how do you move forward when that trust has been violated like that, because you trusted that person with this intimate detail and now it's being smeared in your face?
And so there's two things. One is that we have to reduce the negative communication. And so negative communication is like criticism, contempt. Contempt is like your mate starts to say something and then you just, this again, kind of rolling your eyes, hostile humor, things like that. And then also another aspect of negative communication is defensiveness, like where somebody comes and says, like your mate comes and says, hey, this happened and I was really upset, and then the other person responds, yeah, but you did this over here, or yeah, but I don't do, so making excuses, that's defensiveness. And then stonewalling is the other thing, where one person either shuts down physically or by like walking away, or shuts down emotionally. And so one thing is we have to reduce the negative communication, but then the other piece is we got to increase some positive communication. And so we work on both of those things.
And wow. what does positive communication look like?
Positive communication. So a lot of what goes into positive communication is making deposits into your relationship. So imagine your relationship is like a bank account. And when you make a withdrawal, like those negative things, then it is depleting your relationship of the love, the connection. And then a deposit is where you're sharing something that you love about your mate, that you appreciate about your mate. The research suggests that couples should have 5 times as much positive communication as they do negative communication. That helps to keep the relationship resilient so couples are able to get through those difficult times. And so it may be like, oh, you really looking nice in those jeans. It could be something like a physical attribute, or it could be like, thank you so much for taking out the trash. I really appreciate that, how you're taking care of the kids. Or it could be a quality that you share that you really like. I love the way you work so hard on your business. Get it, boo. I love what you're doing. And so it could be an attribute, a quality, or a behavior.
Okay. Just as long as it's something.
Something on a consistent daily basis.
Right. And that's a thing that has to consciously be done, and hopefully by the time you get yourself in the groove of things, then you'll just be doing it naturally, you know, because, I mean, what else is there? You're either thinking a positive thought about your relationship, or you're thinking a negative thought about your relationship. So hopefully if you want your relationship, you are going more toward the positive.
And I think that's the key, is that people have to be intentional. You know, sometimes when I counsel couples, sometimes when they first start seeing me, they may say, oh, I'm not the type of person that does that. And so I put my life's work on the belief that people have the ability to change, to transform, to renew their mind. And so that's where the process of counseling comes in. And I believe that it's possible. I believe that people can really make a transformation.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I believe that too, but it has to be a willingness, of course. We all have free will. And, you know, people get into relationships for different reasons, and, you know, that can be kind of tough. Now, I'm sure, or I'm thinking that you've had counseling with a couple, and you had to take the couple aside and say, listen, I think you all need individual counseling. Like, for instance, if the woman, we'll just use an example, the woman has had like severe issues in the past with relationships, and maybe she has some sexual abuse going on, so for some reason she's not able to connect at all with her spouse. I mean, you would wonder, okay, well, how did they even get together in the first place? But have you had that where you had to just kind of like pick the whole thing apart and be like, okay, you need individual counseling?
I have. And so that's part of the reason why. So my first session, I meet with a couple together, and then my session 2 and session 3, I meet with them individually. And so that's part of the reason why at the very beginning of treatment, I meet with them individually, so that I can get a sense of what are some of the things which may be like emotional baggage, which may be past relationship, but what are some of the things that have impacted the way that they show up to relationships way before they ever even met their mate. Things that they have never been able to fully process. And so that could be physical abuse, sexual abuse, in some cases substance abuse. And in those cases, a lot of times you are going to need a separate space where you can work with someone one-on-one around it.
That's important that you said that. Now, because you said that, I think it's important that I reiterate what I have before. I think that everybody needs counseling. You know, I think that this is a must-have, just like chiropractic, just like massage. People think that these things are just some sort of a la carte thing that you add onto your life, but it's not. It is what you need to survive, because if you are not working these things out, you're not living the best life that you can have. And if you're not living the best life you could have, then you are really, really subjecting yourself to some pain. You know, so
I'm an advocate for counseling. If you have a heart problem, you're going to go see a cardiologist, right? And you're going to go see a good cardiologist. It's the same with mental health. If you're dealing with something that is stressing you out, or even just like a work issue, having a supportive space where you have someone mm-hmm. that can walk you through that thing, where you're not having to deal with the whole issue by yourself, can really be incredibly healing.
And it actually gives you a better perspective on your relationship as a whole, because if I want to go to counseling and my mate wants to go to counseling, that shows a willingness for the both of us to move forward and to put the baggage behind and move forward. I mean, that should do your heart good. But if you don't even try anything, how can you move forward? So, I mean, I encourage everybody listening to this, because it's going to be podcasted and shared many times, you all check out counseling. I mean, just like anything else, you vet out a good counselor for, you know, your particular needs. You won't necessarily fall in love with the first one that you meet, but find a good, like she was saying, space. Find a good space where you can go and have counseling, whether it be couples counseling, individual counseling. You know, and this is something that I believe we should teach our children early, too, you know. It's okay to talk with someone about what is going on. I mean, of course, we know as Black people, we like, okay, don't you take nothing out of this house. But, I mean, there is a way for it to be done. I mean, because with the hustle and bustle, with the lives that we lead today, children are carrying a whole lot of trauma, a whole lot of responsibility, and they need somebody to talk to, too. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, there's some children who are suicidal, who have mm-hmm. attempted suicide already, and just to have somebody that they could talk to before it even gets to that level. Like, sometimes people think that, oh, things got to be really bad before I go to see a counselor, but no, you don't. How about go just to get some coping skills on mm-hmm. just how can I deal with these everyday life stresses so it doesn't get to that point?
Right, right. How about some preventative methods before it gets to that level, you know? Like you said, coping skills. If somebody can help you cope through the issues of life, then it won't get to 10. You know, you could still be at a 2 and live perfectly fine at 2, and you don't have to get to 10 before, you know. It's like, okay, now I'm checked into this psychiatric hospital. You know, and a lot of us have had to be in those situations where we've just snapped, you know, because life has the ability to put us in a certain place to where, you know, it's just kind of, it looks like it's the point of no return. So why not get some counseling? I mean, do you yourself, doctor, do you go to a counselor?
I have in the past. I talk about this in my book, Marital Peace. There's a chapter on infidelity. And there was a mm-hmm. point in my relationship. I've been with my husband for 14 years, and there was a point in our relationship when we was dealing with infidelity. And I was like, man, Lord, how are we going to get through this? And
right.
it was really tough. Like, I felt depressed. I felt like I really just, it was a really difficult point. And so at that point in time, I started counseling. We did couples counseling as well. And it made a huge, huge difference. And so for me, I'm a healer, but I also know when I have to tap into that additional support as well. So yeah, I'm definitely a believer in therapy on all fronts.
Oh, good. So there is hope beyond infidelity.
Absolutely. We are living proof, because to consider the place that we were at then and to look at where we are today, like just last year we took 6 months off and we traveled around the world together. It would have been no way possible for us to do something like that, like going around the country, teaching other couples, transforming other marriages. When I think about like how far we've come, it's been, I mean, truly transformational.
Wow, that's powerful for people to know that. I'm so serious, because I don't know what the rate of Black divorce today is, but we have got some issues. And if we are willing to sit down and iron them out, you know, especially the issues that started, like you talked about, before you even got in a relationship, there's definitely hope. And I mean, I just so appreciate that testimony that you had. Also, another thing that we deal with, a lot of us deal with, is issues from previous relationships, whether it be children from other relationships, baby's mama's drama, baby daddy's drama, older children drama. I mean, the parents not liking you, all kind of stuff. I mean, how does a couple really get through all of these issues? I know you talked about, you know, just keeping out of people out of your business, but I mean, it's just so hard. It's really, really hard.
And you do need an outlet. Like, couples definitely need an outlet, but I just encourage couples to be mindful about how much detail they go into it, into the intimate details of their life with people who, let's just say, don't have fruit in the area that they're trying to grow in. If you're trying to grow in an area financially, don't go talk to a broke person. It's the same way when it comes to your marriage. If you know that you're surrounded by people who are single, who are not committed to a relationship, that may not be the best person to ask for relationship advice from.
Oh, right. That's definitely true. Robert, what do you think about that?
I definitely agree with that. You know, be careful where you get your advice from. You know, and if you want to ask somebody that has failed at it, I would say, well, what do I need to look at to avoid the pitfalls? Yeah, but as far as getting success information, you better talk to somebody that is achieving it, you know.
Right. And that would be like getting information from our elders. I mean, shoot, wherever they are, you better seek them out, I'm telling you. Because if we look at couples from back in the day, I'm talking about our grandparents and great-grandparents, if they are available to you again, you really need to talk with them. If they're still together, you know, ask them if they will talk to you about what struggles they've had, because they've had some struggles. I mean, it looks like it's been easy maybe, but no, they've had some struggles. I mean, I can look at my grandparents, and I know the struggles that they've been through, and they persevered for however long. I mean, they made it through, because my grandfather just passed away about a month ago. But I mean, they were married for a very long time. I think she was 16 and now she's like 75.
Oh,
they were
wow.
married for a long time. Yeah, they were married for a long time, and it didn't go without issues, and I mean major issues. But you know, I'm not saying that everybody needs to stay together, but I think people need to take a second look at really the petty reasons that they break up, you know, and just know that every person that you get with, you're going to have some sort of issue with them. It's not going to be perfect roses and what is it, a bed of roses? Like you say, the grass always looks greener on the other side, and they say you need to water your own lawn if you want greener grass. And I truly believe that. I think if you have two people, no matter what is going on, if you have two people that are committed to doing better, to being better than the person that they were yesterday in your relationship, you can definitely get somewhere. So we need to really work hard at that, because people are really, really coming into relationships with a plan B, you know, ready to go, ready to leave, ready to jet. You know I've been that person. I'm like, oh, I'm done, goodbye, you know. But when you get older and you're more mature, it just would do justice to your own self to sit and try to figure these things out. Now, I'm not one to advocate for people in abusive relationships, and that's physical and mental. I don't believe in that at all. I think that you should go. If something like that's happening, you need to at least separate, you know. But as far as like these little petty things, like she don't cook and all this other stuff, like, you know, people get upset over the craziest things and break up over the craziest things. Well, to me, it's crazy, but we just really need to analyze these things. And again, if you get a counselor or a therapist to help you iron out these things and really, really, really just set all these feelings that you have aside and just commit to working these things out, you can really, really get through this thing called life.
I agree. And I think you raised some really important points, where it's this idea where we live in kind of a microwave society, where we expect that our relationships are just going to make us happy, or the other person is just going to fulfill us on every level. And relationships are not built like that. Marriage is not built in a way where that person is going to make you happy. But sometimes when we watch movies, when we watch television shows, it's this idea of just they ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after. And it's really unrealistic. And so that's where we get this idea of, if I just get out of this relationship, everything in my life will just be so much, much greater. That grass is green on the other side. And so that's part of my work, is helping couples to water their grass.
You know, sisters, I always said that when you go into a relationship, that you should know what you really don't like in reference to in your environment from another human being. You know, for instance, I didn't like cigarette smoke, so I definitely couldn't see myself with someone that smokes cigarettes. And you should have actually, if not written down, definitely committed to memory, these are definite things that I just can't tolerate in a relationship from another human being, you know. And I think that people should actually really know themselves enough to say, I will not settle for this type of behavior or activity in a relationship or out of a relationship, you know, the whatever it may be. And don't allow your guards to go down based on, well, this person drives this or owns this or has this or looks this way or whatever. Once you get the signs, you should pay very close attention to those signs. And when you get a sign, regardless to how it may make you feel, pay attention to the signs. If you see those things that you don't like popping up in these, in the time that you're in communication with this person, is somebody pops up over your house, you know you don't like that. To me, that's a sign. You know, you don't pop up at my house or anything like that. And so you should have a checklist of things that you do like, that you don't like, and that you kind of neutral on. Okay, I can this won't be all that bad. What do you think about that?
I agree that you should have some kind of general expectations that you have of a relationship. And I also think that a lot of times people are not having these conversations, not having that understanding of themselves. Like if you get a bank loan, they're getting all in your business, like asking you lots of questions. But then we just jump in relationships with people that we barely know based off on, in some cases, superficial qualities. Oh, she looks like this. Oh, he drives this. But having a list of things that have some depth to it, I think that's what's really meaningful.
Like, for instance, for real, what's your credit score? And, okay, let's just say you have a poor credit score. Well, can you explain to me how it got that way? You know, because, I mean, in the real world of things, you know, and I don't worry about credit so much as I do to, I really want to know what your view is first on credit, and then how did you ruin your credit if your credit is ruined? Because I want to know what your view is, because I need to know your rationale thinking on that. My view on credit, because I'm an entrepreneur and I know how to maneuver cash and I know how to get things without using credit, is not the average thinking. So I need to know what your view is on credit, and why is your credit score jacked up? You know what I'm saying? I can tell you why mine's jacked up, and I can tell you if I really want to, I know how to correct all of that. But you know, you just need to really get into the business of the relationship, because you are entering into a contractual agreement and money will be transferred in that relationship. So it's just not about an emotional connection. It is a business. what you bring in terms of debt to this table? I need to know that. What you think?
I definitely think that couples need to have financial conversations. And remember I said, like, communication is one of the number one reasons why couples divorce. Well, finances are not that far behind on that list. Couples are getting into huge fights, arguments over money-related issues, whether it's debt, credit, oh, you bought that, how much did you spend on this? And so having some general idea on how you practice good financial principles is really important.
Mm-hmm. One other thing. Now, the subject of prenuptial agreements in relationships that I've discussed and had this conversation with people in the past has been really it's either a very bad conversation, or it's a conversation where a person will say, well, you ain't balling like that, or something of that degree. But for me personally, I don't believe that there's nothing wrong with a prenuptial agreement between two people, given today's society, and, you know, there's so many other things that you have to consider when you in relationships. I went through something in a relationship myself where, you know, I wasn't protected. I had a piece of property, slipped up, missed the daggone court date, and I saw this person after the divorce. He said, well, I own the property now, so now you have 30 days to either pay me the rent or move out, and my plan is to sell the property. And that just rocked my world. So what do you think about couples, and what do you think about prenuptial agreements in relationships where there are assets prior to these two people marrying or whatever, and even after? What do you think about that?
I think it depends on what stage you are in life. Like, if you're young, you're 20 something, and you don't barely have a pot to piss it or what else to throw it out of, what are we talking about? But if you're meeting someone later in life and you are at a point where you have established some things, or maybe you have an inheritance, prenuptial agreements allow for you to be able to take a little bit of the emotion out of the decision making, because when people divorce, when people separate, a lot of times it gets ugly. And so to be able to make a decision when you're not in that place takes some of the heat off of it. But again, it kind of goes back to what are we talking about and what stage of the relationship are you in? Not the relationship, but what stage in life are you in, really?
Well, you know, I've had this conversation as an adult, you know, in my 40s, and with at that time I was married, and she was offended by the conversation because she thought that, well, what is your plan if you're talking prenup? What are you talking about? Why should we even get married if you already talking prenup? Why do you want me to own my own separate home? Because I always said, personally, I always said that if I get into a relationship with a woman and she doesn't own property and I own property, I want for her to either incorporate and own some property as well as just like I do, because I don't want you, if in the event that we divorce or whatever, you have to figure out where you're going to go. At least that is done a way ahead of time, you know, and then that way, if the divorce is intimate, then you have a place to go, you know. And so I personally thought that was just like planning for death. You know what I'm saying? We should be planning our funeral arrangements or having insurance for that. So if we plan ahead for what if I die, then what's wrong with planning ahead for what if this relationship don't work? We don't know if it's not going to work. We hope that it does work. That's why we're here. But as mature adults, and you know that anything can happen, hopefully it doesn't happen. You hope you don't die, but anything can happen. As mature adults, I think personally that we should be planning for all these possible events that life can bring about. What do you think on that?
There are different schools of thought on this. Like, one school of thought is we're preparing for our divorce before we ever even get married. And so a lot of people can feel like when you're introducing the conversation of a prenuptial agreement, it's like this idea of a prepping for a potential divorce. But then on the other hand, there is this reality that over 50% of marriages end in divorce. And so I think you have to carry that those two different perspectives, that when you are introducing that conversation, a lot of people do get defensive, offended. A lot of emotions come up when conversations about prenuptial agreements are introduced. And the other thing is there, and it depends on what your vows are and how you're looking at marriage. For some people, they really do enter marriage with this idea of, well, you know what, if this thing doesn't work out, I need to make sure that I have a good exit strategy. And I know you described like some of your past experiences, which are real and valid experiences, having been with someone who, as a result of missing a court date, now you've lost property that was important to you. That's a real thing. And so I think you have to take that life experience, but also be open to the possibility that you're going to meet someone that isn't going to be like the person that you were married to.
True that. Of course, we hope these things happen. You know, we really do, and we look for. I mean, if you are, you know, a somewhat sane human being, you know, you looking for a life mate. I mean, nobody wants to die alone. Nobody wants that. You know, and you know, you may start out with a shield of protection over you in the beginning. See, what we don't discuss is these contracts can change over the years. You know, you can get with a person and then you decide, well, no, I'm going to change how this whole thing goes because this person has stuck by your side, you know, but in the beginning, you don't know that. You don't know what the true, you know, we say we true to one another. Our mouths can say a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's unfortunate that we have to think like this and have to, you know, have these type of dialogues. But given the climate of the mindset here in America, you know, you really have to have these type of dialogues. And it's painful, it's hurtful, but, you know, it really is something that I think that you just can't sweep up under the rug and just act like it can't happen or it won't happen or I don't want to offend her, so, you know, I'm not going to say anything about it. I remember Kanye West had in a song that he talked about, the song called Gold Digger, and he said that you needed to get a prenup, and that was in one of his songs. And so when he married the young lady that he's with now, I've come to find out that he doesn't have a prenuptial, and they got a lot of money involved in this thing. You hear about these Hollywood marriages with all these millions of dollars involved in these marriages, but then when it go bad, you know, just like Mary J. Blige's husband is now, he's trying to sue her for XYZ amount of money. And you start out with love, you may be in love, and that person may love you, but if you're not sure until you're sure. And only time that you're sure is when you're going through what you're going through. You see? So, I mean,
yeah,
that's
you need a lot more than just love to sustain a relationship. Love is really not enough. You have to have commitment. It's so many other variables than just love that are critical to building a solid relationship over time.
That's true, and I think what you just said is very important, because I have to take it back to what I said before. As Black people, we have gone through several generations of not even seeing a solid relationship. So sometimes we don't even know what love is. We think that love is things. We think that love is money. We think that love is somebody chasing after us. We think that love is somebody hiding behind the bushes and trying to see what's going on with us. We think that some weird things are love, but those things do not constitute as love. So, again, to bring it full circle, we all need therapy. We all need counsel. We all need guidance through this thing called life and these relationships that we get into. Now, as far as the prenuptial agreement, I think that these are things that should be discussed from the very beginning before you even get serious with a person. Because as you are discussing these things often, not just one time, but as you're discussing these things often, you can really get a sense of where a person is, and you can really get a sense of where this relationship is going because of your beliefs and non-beliefs. And again, if you have these discussions often, then it won't be a problem, because there's no shocker and there's no surprise for anybody, because you have to know where each other is so that you know together where you're going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what we want to do now, Doctor, is we want to be able to allow you to let people know how they can get a hold of you, go to your retreat, and also maybe receive counseling through you. I don't know if you do anything through the internet or by phone, but our listeners really need to be able to get connected with you, because I'm pretty sure in listening to this interview, they must have what it is that you're offering. So let them know how they can get in contact with you and set up maybe a consultation, and also how to get a hold of your book.
Okay. So you can find out general information about my practice if you go to AtlantaCoupleTherapy.com. That's AtlantaCoupleTherapy.com. And then I'm going to have a retreat this summer. You can find out information about the couples retreat if you go to BlackCouplesRetreat.com. That's BlackCouplesRetreat.com. It's going to be the second week in July, on July 16th, and we're going to be in Pensacola, Florida for 3 nights. It's going to be amazing, and so you'll get me live in person. I'm going to bring a masseuse out. I'll have a chef. We'll be right on the beach 3 nights, all inclusive. So you can find out more information if you go to blackcouplesretreat.com. And then my book, Marital Peace, you can find out information about how to get marital peace if you go to Amazon.com and put in marital peace. I go through all of the key areas that I found through my research that couples struggle with the most and how to overcome those areas. So I have a chapter around communication, infidelity, finances. Also, one area we talked about today, we didn't go into a whole lot of detail, but emotional baggage. A lot of times we've dealt with something that we've never been able to really fully process, and it's impacting our relationships. Blended families. I have a chapter on blended families, and so that's another area that we didn't get so much into, but it's a whole chapter on that. So that's how you can connect with me. I'm also on all social media. I have a group called Black Marriage Matters. It's a Facebook group, and so I do different videos on like questions that I get asked the most. So find me on Facebook at Black Marriage Matters Group.
Wow. Well, I think that, again, everyone listening here needs to reach out and consider getting counseling. I mean, more than consider getting counseling, getting therapy so that you can be a better you to be with who you would like to be with in the future. Because I believe that your mate is preparing for you as you are preparing for them. And why not give your best self to that person that you say that you love? I mean, what other choice do you have? You know, so I'm really excited. Thank you so much for joining us. If you ever want to come back, oh, no problem. If you ever want to come back on our show at any time to tell the listeners what you want to put together or what you're putting together, we are happy to have you. We would love to do a commercial for your couples retreat. And if you'd even like a show on Black Talk Radio Network, we'd be happy to facilitate that for a very low price. You'd be surprised. But we want to tell you thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to being in communication with you really soon and being at one of your retreats, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And we will definitely be in communication, like I said, really soon, okay?
Okay. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Okay, everyone. That was Dr. Laura Lewis. I believe you should really look her up. I mean, that just every time we have somebody that is a counselor, therapist, or psychologist or psychiatrist in our midst, especially someone who is Black like us, you know, I know that they feel our pain and our struggle. I could tell Dr. Lewis did. She felt our pain and our struggle, the things that we go through as Black people. So why not connect with someone that can identify with you? You know, it's easy to just go to some counseling center because your insurance covers it or whatever, but are they really connecting with you? I know personally for me, when I didn't know any better, I went to a therapist and I was talking to him or whatever, but I ended up counseling him. It was ridiculous. So clearly he was not the right fit for me. Because you shouldn't be having to counsel your therapist. He totally had some issues going on. But today, I sit here and I tell you that I do believe in counseling. I mean, it helps you be a better you. Robert, what do you think?
Hey, you know, I'm so into this whole idea of counseling us because in business, there are so many dynamics that go on in the person that is in business. We deal with the public. We deal with our family. We have to deal with ourselves as well, and we're not all together healthy, even though we think we are healthy. We're not all together healthy because we got so much baggage growing up in America as a Black man or a Black woman, single parent. I mean, so many different dynamics to us as Black people in America that we have not had someone to help us sort through these different things that we're going through. So this subject is very personal and to me personally. I mean, I've had counseling once in my life and I've really benefited from it, but it's just like getting massages or anything of that nature, going to a chiropractor. It's something that, as you said earlier, we need to do this on a regular. You need to seek some counseling on a regular. And I know for me, when I heard you say that tonight, CC, I said, she is right. I just like going to get a massage, going to the chiropractic, I'm going to go and have someone talk to me. And I'm going to talk to them. And I'm going to see if they can help me out through some other things. You know, we have to do this for ourselves.
Absolutely. If you don't do it for yourself, don't expect anybody to do it for you. But, you know, what we don't realize is as we get healthy, the people around us don't have a choice but to get healthy. I mean, if they decide to go the other direction, it'll be quite obvious. And what will happen is those people will kind of shed off, you know, get away from you because they won't be attracted to you any longer. So healthy people attract healthy people. Sick people attract sick people. So, you know, if you're truly interested in being healthy, which we all should be, I mean, it's almost like we have the Stockholm syndrome, like to where we gravitate toward what is unhealthy. And it's just a condition that we've been under. But you have the choice to gravitate forward and be a healthy person. So we here at BIB encourage you to be healthy. Yes, this is a counseling night, and it's okay because what we did was introduce an entrepreneur who is a mental health specialist. And we all want you to, especially if you're in the Atlanta area, we all want you to seek her out and support Black business. So what we're going to do is invite you to join her. Her information will be on the Blacks in Business Facebook page. We enjoyed her tonight. We liked her spin on entrepreneurship and relationships. We also have a video that we're going to play tonight concerning entrepreneur and relationships, too, because, of course, that's what we deal with. We deal with Black people in business. So we are definitely going to get that going for you really soon. Let me think here. Yep, before we get into our second hour, we'll have that for you. But right now, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we will be back with you for the last and final hour of Blacks in Business Radio here on Black Talk Radio Network every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we will be right back, so don't go away for long, okay? All right. Welcome, welcome, everyone.
Radio since 2008, providing new Black media for the masses.
All right, well, on Black Talk Radio Network, and we'll remind everybody today is June 1st. And what we have learned also is this is National PTSD. More research, but as we recognize issues throughout these months, we want to try to tie those things into business because my co-host and I, Robert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, perfect. Yes. Okay, so my co-host and I, Robert. Yes.
You fade in and out, CC.
Okay, I can't really hear you, Robert. But
can you hear me?
Oh, my mic is breaking up. Okay.
CC, you're fading in and out.
Okay, is this better?
Yes, sounds
good. Oh,
better.
Wow. Okay. Hold on just a second. Let's see here.
No, we can't hear you at all.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Give me a second.
Yes, yes, yes. While we wait for our...
You hear me now?
No, we hear you a little better. I hear you much better now. No. No. Not at all.
Well, that is... Okay, this is what we're going to do. Play this video. Hold on. I'm going to go... Just and discuss the lady yesterday, okay?
So you guys, what you're hearing, I'm me and CC, we're in the same building, and you heard me talking. You're like, who is he talking to? But I'm talking to CC, so we're in the same building. We have a technical difficulty right now, but nevertheless, we'll be working that out in just a short spell here. And there's a video that she wants to play for you guys. And as soon as we can work that out, we're going to get that clip on. But yes, we had a really, really, we had a really, just a few, the last, the first part of the show was really, really a good show that we really, really highly recommend to our listening audience to actually really tune in and get you some counseling. Really, really need to do that for anybody that's listening right now. If you're on the line and you may want to ask a question, just, you know, feel free to do that. But please get some counseling. Entrepreneurship is one of those type of things where you deal with so much. You deal with a lot. The weight of your life is on your shoulders. You don't have something that you can go to and don't have to worry about how you're going to get your money, anything. Most people are just locked into that robotic way of life, and it just pays off at the end of the week. Entrepreneurs, we are a little bit different, you know, and not to say that there's not pressure on you as a 9-to-5, because there is. I've been a 9-to-5er before I was an entrepreneur, and there's pressure there as well as pressure being an entrepreneur. There's a little more pressure on us because, you know, we depend on, you know, everybody to come in and show some love and spend some money with us. And this is a new thing for us as black men and women. So if you're a first-time entrepreneur, that could be very stressful. You know, and God forbid if you're with a mate and the mate doesn't understand and not supportive, then that could be even more stressful. So, you know, that's why I say the first half of this show was such a great show. And it's just something that I can't express enough, that we need to seek counseling. If you go and get a massage, you should consider getting counseling. If you go to the chiropractic and you get your back worked on, then you should see counseling as your mental health as important as your physical health. And that's right. And what you guys don't hear is what CC's saying right now. It's just like what the therapist said. If you have a heart attack, you're going to see a heart doctor. So if you're mentally stressed, if you're frustrated, and you can't figure things out, then you need to see someone that can help you sort through your thoughts, that can help you get a clearer picture, a clearer view of what it is that's going on in your life, or why it's going on in your life. You need to have somebody who's trained and who we want to say this unapologetically, someone who's black, because we can relate best with one another because we come from almost the same set of circumstances as black men and women. I don't care if you're born on the East Coast and one is on the West Coast. We're going to experience the same prejudice in America from coast to coast, north, south, east, and west. It doesn't matter. We're being killed and slaughtered from all angles of this country. So we feel that oppression. Nobody in America has give their children the how-to get home state called like black people. So definitely seek some counseling. It does help. I myself, Brother Robert 11X, have had conflict on a show. I am the help of this sister or someone has qualified. I don't know who that is, but I know she's qualified. She's somebody that I need to talk to. So I'm just in strong support.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now, CEC.
In the system.
Yes, we hear you better now.
I hear a relay.
You hear an echo? That's because we're too close. Oh, my gosh. Hold on real quick.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, guys, and my family, and my black family out here listening, you know, everybody can benefit from BIB Blacks in Business Radio. You guys really can get something out of it. We don't care what ethnic group you come from, because the information is solid and it can help anybody. But we want to make sure that for those who listen to our show, it is specifically for the benefit of black people that we do this show, you know, and that's why it's called BIB, Blacks in Business Radio, because we care about black people who are striving to go in business, and we care about black people who want to support black business. So we want to make sure that, you know, on BIB Radio, that we give you information that keeps you relevant in the business world and keeps you going forward, keeping your doors open, having the right and correct information to make that happen. And it's all mathematical, never emotional, mathematical, you know. So that's what we do here at BIB Blacks in Business. And we're fortunate enough to be on a black network. So that's another whole thing that we're just enjoying the opportunity to be on Black Talk Radio Network, and that right there, that says it all. We support black business, so our show is on a black radio network. So, I mean, this is a relationship that is definitely something that I'm proud of, to even be on this network. So we're going to be shortly getting back on our subject that we have. We had some technical difficulties. My host, CC, the real infopreneur, is trying to sort out the technical difficulties and so that we can move forward. But I guess I can read to you guys a little bit about the other part of the show. The lady's name, the doctor's name, was Dr. Laura Lewis. Can you hear me, CC? Okay. And that's who you want to get in touch with, Dr. Laura Lewis, if you're seeking
out. I don't know. Can you hear me? That's the question.
Yes, we hear you good now. You sound great.
Uh-oh.
Can't hear
me? Robert, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. Now there's two me's on the screen. This is nuts. Okay. Yes. Okay. Lord have mercy. Prayer. Okay. So this is what I want to do, because it is getting late, and I'm so sorry. I'm not sure what is going on with this technical problem. But yes, earlier, our first hour show was wonderful. And like Robert was saying, we definitely need to make sure that you all have the proper information so that you can get the help that you need. Entrepreneurialism is not an easy journey, you know. Everyone that's in it knows that. So it's important that you tap into a counselor. Now, what we're going to do is a clip for you. Okay, thanks, Scotty. I'm going to play a clip for you now for Project Matter. You know, of course, we deal with entrepreneurship and business. Quite frequently visit the subject matter of a spouse, entrepreneurship, picking the right mate, that type of thing, if you are in business for yourself, the conflicts that may arise and that type of thing. So let me go ahead and play this video for you. And calm down, because I'm irritated. so we can keep going. Let's see here. So this person, his name is Mr. Alfred Edmond. I wanted to actually have him on the show. I did reach out to him, but not been able to reach his office yet. So we will see what happens. If he is able to contact me with mine, I want to play for Black Enterprise. So, excuse the background noise, everybody. I'm so sorry, but we're going to play the clip now.
Hi there, everyone. I'm JJ Ramberg, and it's now time for Better Your Business, a special segment just for our open forum viewers. Alfred Edmond is the editor of .com, and we should mention that Bell's anniversary this year. And Scott Belsky is the founder and CEO of Behance, a company that develops products and services for creative companies. And he is also author of the book Making Ideas Happen. Great to see you.
Nope. That's wow.
Hey, Cece.
It's time now to answer some of your business questions. Alfred and Scott are back with us once again.
That is not it either. Uh-huh. You can't hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. I hear you.
Oh, what, are you trying to tell me something?
I'm going to bring you a present. One second.
What are you saying to me? A present. Okay. Okay, now let me get this, because I'm not sure why this is, let's see here. Wow, I apologize, everybody. This is not good. This is totally not good. Okay, before I thought I was going to use my phone.
That's the video right here.
Let's see here. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. Yes, here we go, right here. Okay. Now let me make sure you hear me just fine. Okay, are you hearing me just fine, Robert?
Are you hearing me? I think Robert's muted now. They're having some issues tonight. Okay. I did. It's taken so long to unmute you, though. I don't know what is going on.
Okay, I'm here. I just heard it. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right, so the video is here. I'm sorry. This is done May 14, 2017, and this is, again, a video about relationships, and this is, let's see here, May 14, 2017. So that was just done. Okay, let me play this for you.
Or your senior staff will affect your business, but what a lot of us don't stop to think about until it is too late is that our romantic relationships can affect our companies too. Alfred Edmond is Senior Vice President and Executive Editor at Large for Black Enterprise. He and his wife also co-authored a book called Loving in the Growth Zone. Good to see you, Alfred.
Great to be here.
All right, we definitely hear about these issues of inter-office relationships gone bad, but you're talking about even more than that. What's going on at home or in your personal life or in your dating life, and that can affect your business.
Well, a lot of this comes from my 30 years of writing about and studying entrepreneurs as an editor of Black Enterprise, and realizing that most of the time when businesses get derailed, careers get derailed, or fortunes get lost, a lot of times it's not the result of a business, career, or financial decision. That while a lot is done about the pressures of starting a business and how that can put strain on your personal relationships, not a lot of people talk about how toxic relationships can undermine your ability to run, manage your business, and it can have major negative consequences if you don't handle it properly.
Okay, so let's talk about number one, avoid mixing business with your personal life.
You need to approach, as an entrepreneur, people that you begin to establish relationships with in the same way that a single parent is very wary if they're being responsible for who they bring around their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is this person safe for me? Are they safe for my kid? Are they going to distract me from being an effective parent? It's the same thing when you're running a business.
Don't share information maybe in the beginning.
Don't share proprietary information. It may not be a great idea. If you're really making a lot of money or you just closed on a big deal, your first date may not be the time to tell them, listen, I'm about to come into several million dollars. You know, you don't know if that person is safe for you. You don't know what their motives are. You don't know what their agenda is. And being cavalier about that can have caused major financial problems.
By the way, even if they aren't going to do something, right, there's nothing nefarious about it, you may have shared some confidential information, then you break up, and you just don't feel comfortable with it being out there. Even if you don't think anything will happen,
well,
you just don't feel comfortable with it.
In the beginning of a relationship, nobody thinks it's going to go bad.
Right.
But we know statistically that most relationships are going to end, and at least half of them probably aren't going to end well. So you're right. The
dating life separate than your business life. One is about who you date, but let's save that for the next point. Second is maybe just don't be talking about it at work, or what does that mean?
It just has a major deleterious effect. I'm thinking of a person that I know who's a brilliant business leader, but he still leads his personal life like he's a college frat boy. That's not the kind of image or perception you don't want your staff, your investors, your coworkers, your managers having a lot more conversation about what you did last night or last weekend and what showed up on Instagram or
right.
and not focused on who you are as their business leader who's setting the tone. So it's very, very important that you remember that you're never really off, but who you associate with when you're not at the office can have a direct impact in your perception as a leader in your company.
Okay, and then finally, let's talk about who you date. And you've met a client, and you're very attracted to her and him. Should you be dating them? Or there's someone in your office. Should you be dating them? And how do you, as an entrepreneur, business owner, growing business owner, deal with potential rules, policies around this?
First of all, we want to talk about the obvious stuff. Mm-hmm. How very slippery the slope is from we're romantically involved to I'm being sexually harassed.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you win a sexual harassment case, you'll spend over $100,000 in legal fees and other costs. When you lose, it could be six figures, seven figures, eight figures. So you got to think about that. What happens if it doesn't go the way we want it to go? The second thing is the person more important to you as a client, as an investor, or as a love interest? You really need to be clear about what is the point of this relationship and establish that point and recognize that if you want to date, you want to meet other people, there are lots of other people to do that with.
This is all well and good to say, but we know the reality of life, that it happens all the time. People fall in love at work. People fall in love with their clients. It happens all the time.
Well, part of the reason my wife and I started our company, Grown Zone Relationship Education, is to recognize that while you have the capacity and you're inclined to fall in love and connect with people, that's what we're created to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But just because you have the capacity to do something does not mean you know how to do it. You have to take training and preparation. So let me use an analogy. You were born with the capacity to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
You were born with that capacity. That doesn't mean I should just hand you the keys and you should go out there without training and study and preparation and even some coaching. So our point is that, yes, you're going to meet people. You're going to be naturally attracted to them. But recognize the natural attraction does not necessarily mean that there's a relationship in the offering. And while you can't control your emotional reactions, you certainly can control what you do about those emotional reactions.
Okay. All right, so take a second, stop, think, figure out the best way to go about this, and then move forward.
No doubt.
Alfred, great conversation. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. So I hope everybody was able to hear that well enough. Did you hear that, Robert?
Very well.
Okay, perfect. That's wonderful. So I wanted to share that because I like to tie in all of our subject matters together. And again, we will, throughout time, continue to talk about entrepreneurship and relationships. And I think that he gave some very good information. And again, if I can get connected with Mr. Alfred, I will definitely do that. I've reached out to him, so hopefully he will one day check his messages and reach back out to me and come on the show and talk to us more in-depthly about his and his wife's business and talk to us about relationships and entrepreneurship. So, yep, I was very excited to find that. And, of course, we will put it in Blacks in Business Facebook page so you all can listen to it again. What did you think about that clip, Robert?
The information is priceless because, you know, you really, we sabotage a lot of the things that we do as entrepreneurs, especially men. I'm going to say it with men because, again, as we talked about it with the guest before, the doctor, there are gender roles whether we want to accept that or not. I mean, it's just by the nature of how God created things. There are gender roles. And when you're dealing with a man, it's different from dealing with a woman. And as men, it's you and women, though this rule applies to both, you really have to be careful with who you are romantically involved with. As a rule in business, it should be not to get romantically involved in, they use the term client. I'm going to break that down so you can really understand. Not to get involved, romantically involved with none of your customers is what it is, you know. Just plain and simple. you know, and he was hitting it on the head, you know, how you carry yourself in public. You know, you want to live the wild lifestyle, and then you want to be a business leader. Well, and then what you post on Facebook and all these other social media sites, people examine you through what you give them in terms of information on you via social media, and they can make a determination at that point whether, I don't know if I want to deal with this guy. So a lot of the stuff that we do is sabotage, you know, if we're not careful. You know, so I totally agree with, I didn't hear anything that he said that was wrong that I didn't agree with, you know.
Right, right. Well, the thing is, that was just a short little snippet, so I'd definitely be interested in finding out, again, what he and his wife have built concerning, you know, the relationship factor and entrepreneurship. Now, I like what he was saying when he was talking about, you know, you have the ability to drive a car. Well, we listened to, what was that, Brother Nuri yesterday or the other day, he said the same thing. He's like, you know, as far as like marriage and divorce, it's easier to get a marriage license than getting your driver's license. And at first I was like, what is he talking about? That is crazy. But then I thought about it. To get your driver's license, first of all, you know, some states you have to get your permit first, which means you got to take the written test. You have to take a test. There's a test. Then,
right.
You know, of course you have to pass the test. Then after you pass that test, you have to do another test, which is a driving test. You got to do the eye test. You know, there's several tests involved when you have to get your driver's license. But when you want to get married, you just pay a fee. I mean, I think some
exactly.
They test a blood test to make sure you're not siblings or something like that. But for the most part, you just pay a fee and you can get married, you know. But, I mean, that is just, that's crazy. You know, even when you are, I think getting a divorce is similar. I don't know. Let me think. Getting a divorce.
It's more costly to get a divorce than it is to get married.
Right. It is more costly to get a divorce. And then, like, something to do with the children. They make you take these parenting classes and all that stuff. I can't remember what part of life that is. But really, getting married, it really should not be some snap decision, especially in business. Like, you really have to, like, this person was saying, you know, you have to really be guarded with your information. Don't be sharing everything that you have up front with this person, you know, that you're quite possibly interested in. And the host was saying, you know, we know that it's inevitable. You probably will find somebody that you're attracted to in your business. But should you do that? You know, should you go there? Now, I don't think that those decisions are always wrong. But I think what it is we don't spend enough time vetting them out, you know, and we are so eager to either be with someone or just not be bored anymore or whatever that we just jump into these decisions without really properly vetting out the situation, you know, as the guest was talking about, like when you're leaving your children with someone, you really scrutinize that situation. I know some people that don't scrutinize, they just leave their children with anyone, but, you know, in this situation, your business is your baby, so, like, would you entrust your baby to just anyone? No, you would not. You'd be very careful about that. You would find out what their qualifications are to even deal with your baby, so your business, you know, before you even let them into the situation, you would know a lot about them. You would find out if they're really like-minded, you know, because people can pretend like they are really into what you're doing. But my thing is, like, okay, if you are in a relationship with somebody or you think that you want to be in a relationship with somebody, do they have a business themselves? Are they in business? Are they doing a side business? Or are they working a 9-to-5? And not that that's a bad thing, but I'm saying these are questions that you have to ask, you know, because they could be just as desperate as you are, and before you know it, you're in a relationship with somebody that's really not interested in what you're doing, and they don't understand the grind and the time that is spent being an entrepreneur. They don't understand that it just doesn't shut off at 5 o'clock. You know, some people do have parameters in their business, and they do stop doing things at,
you know, at a certain time or whatever. But pretty much, if that phone call comes in, you're ready to take it and do something with it if you're an entrepreneur. But, I mean, there's just so many aspects of relationships and being an entrepreneur. It's like a whole another sector of relationships that really needs to be dealt with on a serious level.
And you know, Cece, here's something that you shared with me that I thought was very, very key when we got together. You said, and I told you how, you know, in the past there were relationships where time issue came up, the subject of not spending enough time. And you said, well, how did you say that? If they want to spend more time with you, then they should be able to work with you.
No, what I said was, because we were talking, and the thing, I mean, I know what you're saying because we had the conversation, but just so it's clear to everybody, we were talking about in these types of relationships where, you know, you have an entrepreneur, and then, let's see, say Robert is the entrepreneur, and he's with a woman, and she's complaining to him, like, you don't spend time with me. We don't go anywhere. We don't do anything, you know, which, you know, that's what people do, you know, because they're so scripted off of what happens on television, but television is not real life. Hello. What I said was, if somebody was interested in spending time with you, they should be working with you in your business, because that is the best time spent. Because, of course, if you are truly interested in what that person is interested in, then you'll know. This person is interested in their business. Now, when you kind of conform to that and fold, and you guys start developing your relationship even more, you'll find that that person wants to do other things too. They'll open up. But it just seems like not so much rocket science to me. If a person is an entrepreneur and you want to spend time with them, then go ahead and work with them in their business. Now, that's kind of difficult for a person. That's kind of difficult for a person who works the 9-to-5. But why don't we go ahead and take this last break? You're listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network.
Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
All right. Welcome back to BIB Radio. We are in the last half hour. Let me send a shout out to Mr. Scotty Reed. That was a dynamic commercial advertising for Black Talk Radio Network. If you, too, would like to have your own program, please reach out to Mr. Scotty Reed. But let's get back to the subject matter at hand, Robert. Yeah, so that's what I was saying. You know, if a person wants to, you know, really spend time with that person, then they should really be working in their business. But I imagine that would be quite difficult for a person that works a regular job, because if I'm working a regular job, whereas I'm getting up at 7 o'clock and going to work, and then I'm getting back home at a certain time, well, I'm thinking that that's my time to unwind, and I'm expecting my spouse to be ready to unwind with me. But if you have a store and your store doesn't close until 10 o'clock, that's going to create a conflict, because your spouse is like, well, I'm off work now, so we should be able to go to dinner, you know, where you like, what are you talking about? I'm not closing up my shop because this is where the money's coming from. So I can understand where the conflict would be there, but that's why it's so important to choose, you know, a person who is on one accord with you, or if they're not on one accord with you, willing to get on one accord with you, because we're not perfect. We're all people, and we have our individual perceptions of this life. But if you truly want to be with somebody, you definitely have to learn to bend and conform. Wouldn't you agree, Robert?
Oh, no doubt. You have to. I mean, I'm not going to say compromise. What I'm going to say is the first part of the choosing, and to even get it, you first have to know where you're trying to go, striving to go. You really have to know where you're going, and especially as an entrepreneur, you're in this thing, so you really have to know where you're trying to go. Okay, now with that in mind, first of all, being true to yourself, then there should be some ideal of what it is that you desire to be, the type of person you desire to be with you, on your way getting to where you're trying to go in business. And in your first 4 or 5 years, you may not know that. You may not know what you need because this is new to you. And trust and believe, it takes a while to just figure out, okay, this is what I need in order to do this. Because as the guy said, most time when businesses fail, it ain't because it's not a good business idea. It's the behind the scenes stuff that you don't know. And that is your domestic life, your children, your spouse. I mean, when you are an entrepreneur, you giving it your all. You pouring your all into it because, I mean, what else could you do? To halfway do it, not an entrepreneurship, is not going to work. So you have to give it your all. And so in giving it your all, you need support from the one that's laying next to you in the bed. She is, or he is, going to be your make it or break it. And if you're not strong enough, they're going to be your make it or break it. But if you got that fortitude and you see it's not what it needs to be, and it's causing you stress while on your post of being successful or going down that road of success, you're going to have to be faced with making some very hard decisions for your own personal life. And that's when you have to become selfish. You see?
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like we prematurely sometimes jump into these situations because of whatever. I mean, again, let me take it back to this. Okay, so we talked in the first hour about mental health. If you are on point with taking care of you, like going to a therapist and getting these different things worked out that may perhaps be all the way back from childhood or yesterday, whatever. But if you are on point with getting those things taken care of, getting yourself, you know, some you time, going to the massage therapist, which again is not a treat, that is a necessity. Going to the chiropractor, that is a necessity. If you're doing these things in order, which essentially is taking care of your own self, I think that we wouldn't make these weird decisions. I think that we would be better judges of who we choose to be in our life, because our mental health has been kind of worked out. It's been taken care of, so we're not making these poor decisions instead of good decisions. Don't you think so?
No doubt. I mean, definitely. It all just, when you really sit down and think about it, what we're talking about, it just really makes all the sense in the world. You know, we look at a massage as a treat. No, it's a necessity.
It's a necessity.
I mean, when I go and get a massage, I feel stuff that's being rubbed out of my back, like knots. You may have these knots. I never really knew that. And I'm like, wow, this stuff is the person that's massaging would tell you, yeah, those are, you know, this, you got to make that where it doesn't feel that way. You know, your muscles are knotting up and all. But you thinking that I'm going to treat myself. No, that's therapy that you definitely need. Going to a chiropractor. You think that you're all right, but you're having these pains, or you may be having these headaches or whatever. And then the chiropractor tells you, oh, well, we need to, you know, let me twist you this way and pop your back, and you get your back and your neck pop, and all of a sudden you're feeling good, which I need to probably go do that real soon as I'm talking about it. But these things are a necessity. We treat our cars better than we treat our own selves. You take that car every 3,000 miles, you know you're going to get an oil change. If it says premium gas, we may try to cheat on the gas when we don't have the money, but for the most part, we're putting premium gas in that car.
Right.
And how do we treat our body? We treat, matter of fact, the same way you said that, what was it that you said about getting the marriage license and the driver's license, how easy it is to get a marriage license, the mindset, the same mindset is the same way we treat our bodies versus how we treat our cars. You know, it's crazy how things that really mean the most get the less attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what does it say? The squeaky wheel gets the most attention. Is that what it says? I don't know. Let me look at it real quick.
That sounds like it makes sense, though. The squeaky wheel should get the most attention.
Okay, yep. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Okay, so Wikipedia says that means the squeaky wheel gets the grease is an American proverb used to convey the idea that most noticeable or loudest problems are the ones most likely to get attention. It is alternately expressed as the squeaky wheel gets the oil. So, yeah. But what it, you know, your body is not always that squeaky wheel, but sometimes your life is that squeaky wheel because, I mean, my goodness, what do we take ourselves through, you know? It's not enough to just say, okay, I'm an entrepreneur and this, that, and whatever. I mean, it's not. You have got to take care of yourself in order to be able to make this thing work. Because your creativity as an entrepreneur is being stifled by not taking care of yourself. Your creativity is being stifled by your picker being off. You know, you're picking the wrong people and you're picking the wrong, you know, choices, just all kind of things. And then, unfortunately, a lot of times children result in these, you know, bad choices or whatever. We don't regret our children, but I'm saying, like, why don't we just go ahead, get the therapy and the help that we need so that we can be mentally sound people to make proper decisions to be the best entrepreneurs that we can be. That's what I think.
And the benefit from that is it also benefits you in your personal everyday life. I mean, it's right. Just, this is great. This is actually bigger than just being an entrepreneur. I mean, this contributes to the success of the entrepreneur, but in order to be, it first starts at the basic foundation of your life. You know what I'm saying? This is part of the stability of your life. You know, and if you're off mentally, then I mean, we're gonna keep bumping our heads, making the same mistakes over and over and over again. They call that insanity. You know, and when do we wise up and say, maybe I need to seek some counseling? I think the big misunderstanding with counseling is people think that people who are crazy get counseling.
Right. Well, if you don't, you're on the verge of crazy, to be honest, because, I mean, this life is something tough. And being black in this life is something even tougher. So, I mean, you know, let's start out with this. If you are still afraid to seek out a therapist, and again, it needs to be one that is a good fit. And I would say a black person that's a good fit. I would never tell you to go to some white counselor, white therapist. They cannot associate themselves with the things that you go through every day. So next thing you know, you'll be
dealing with CPS. I mean, just please try to find a good black counselor. If you don't have them in your area, you know, we have plenty on this show that I'm sure do counseling over the phone or through the internet, some kind of way like that. If you want to start out slow, go on YouTube. They have counselors on YouTube where you could just listen to some advice. Sometimes that's where you need to start out. You know, if you're still afraid, just get some sound advice from somebody on YouTube that is a counselor. I've done that before. It's like, man, I don't feel like going through this again trying to find a counselor. You know, I'm from Seattle, and that was a catastrophe trying to find a counselor in Seattle. So glad I'm gone from there. But you need to start somewhere, honestly, people. You really, really do. So we are going to stop with that portion because what we said today was we're going to give a shout-out to black businesses that posted their information on Facebook. So, Robert, I don't have any information. Nobody has posted anything to me. So what is it that you got from our listeners or from people on your page?
Let me see what 22 shares. Give me 1 second here. I may be able to get some comments.
While you are doing that, let me go ahead and shout out blacktalkradionetwork.com. Visit us. Go ahead and do that at any time. 24/7, there is radio playing. You'll hear very, very interesting dialogue with different hosts. And, of course, Mr. Scotty Reed is the engineer of all this, and we want to thank him, so we will shout out his business first. Another person that I see is Ms. Arminda Colon. I'm looking at, like, my Facebook friends, and I'm happy to say that the majority of the people that I'm scrolling by are business owners. Arminda Colon has a business. She's been on our show called Myco Creations, M-Y-C-O, creations.com. She deals with, she makes things. What do you call it? She makes things, and she grows plants, and she's very organic. Go on her website and see what she has to offer. We also have April Stedman Beverly. I had her on my other show, and she says she pimps the internet streets by slinging sentences that sell. So she says, go here so you can to work your words. So what she has is the ability to help you put your words together to sell your products and services. She has a book called How to Write Copy That Pierces the Heart, something like that. But, yeah, we'll have her on the show pretty soon, too. I just have to connect with her assistant, but she's great. Have you found anything yet, Robert?
Yes. I got L's Beauty Supply, 5716 West Florissant, A Taste of Luxury Boutique at 364 North Boyle Avenue. I have Stoke Life, and those two are in St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, then we have Stoke Life, S-O-A-P-L-I-F-E, 360.com. In Nally Jewelry Designs, I'm assuming that's in St. Louis as well. DessertsOutTheJar.com. That's DessertsOutTheJar.com. DessertsOutTheJar.com. And of course, somebody put Brother Robert 11X. Well, that's not us. Somebody said they have, I thought they was talking about me, but they said I have clothes, soap, dessert, hair. Wow.
Wow, that's a mix.
Right. I'm like, all we need is a, wait a minute now, all we need is a grocery store. Okay. All right, well, we're going to move right along. I have one young lady by the name of Latrice Gardner. Her company is called Frenchie. That's FrenchieHaire.com products. Frenchie, I think that's how it's pronounced. Again, Frenchie.com. And then we also have a Frenchshare.com Ujima Group Economics. I guess they have the March. And you can go to... well, I guess you can go to, what is it? Yeah, Ujima Economics March, bit.ly/Ujima, Ujama Economics March. And that's, again, Latrice Gardner, who is over that. And then also, I mean, we have many different people in our BIB Blacks in Business. We definitely want to shout out Mr. Joe Dudley. You know, of course, CeCe, those are your people. You, I mean, they all are people, but that's, you introduced me to Mr. Dudley. So why don't you give a shout out for him as well?
Shout out to Mr. Dudley and your hard work over the years. And we so appreciate you for being a true entrepreneur and continuing on the legacy of your mentor. And we look forward to carrying the torch later on.
Then there's a Sister Ava Muhammad, who is the author of a book that I just recently almost completed. I'm about three more chapters out of that, away from completion. The book is called Real Love, A Absolute Must Have for Your Library People. Definitely you wanna get that. We have, let me see, where's, we have so many people in this. Oh, the brother Jay Morrison, Mr. Real Estate. You definitely want to tune into this guy's classes. Jay Morrison is a sharp real estate investor. You can go to Facebook and type in, he goes by J-A-Y, Mr. Real Estate Morrison. And I love real estate, and I listen to this brother, and he really, really gives some really strong pointers on how to buy real estate, get your credit score up, the whole nine yards.
Yes,
okay,
so very hard to get a hold of, because I've been trying to get a hold of him for a year, but I wanted to have him
right
on the show. Yeah, so let's shout out Mr. C. Edward Moten of Dominion Charter LTD. If you need private charter, reach out to me, just inbox me, because I have a code and I can get you charter flight through Dominion Charter. Let's see here. Let's do, Robert, go ahead and do one more, and then I'm going to do one more, and then we're going to wrap it up for the evening. This has been so pleasant. Go ahead. We got to do this more often.
We got a young brother here at St. Louis that has a beauty expo here in the city. It's a natural hair expo. It's called the St. Louis Natural Hair Black Culture Expo. Shout out to brother Chris. Young brother doing some really huge things. I got to take my hat off to him. Trade shows and expos are nothing small in my book. You know how I feel about trade shows. This brother is doing a hair expo. He is moving, and he is doing some big things in the city. Brother Chris, he also has a printing shop as well called Raw Blends Custom Screen Printing. This brother is very good. You can reach him at 314-398-1585.
All right. Let me see. So let's pick one more. One more. Who will it be? It's going to be the first entrepreneur that I scroll by. Wow, these are regular people. I hate to say it like that. But let me see.
Let me shout out one right now. We got here's one right here. There's a company in St. Louis, Missouri, doing some really huge things. It's Jag, J-A-G, laundry detergent. They sell 5-gallon buckets of laundry detergent, two and four times concentrate, located at 2505 Chambers Road, 63136. Phenomenal. I'm talking some of the best, if not the best, customer service in St. Louis, Missouri, and throughout the United States. They should be rated. Somebody should come and experience the customer service. You need to get down to the Jag Laundry Detergent, buy your 5-gallon bucket of laundry detergent. It's normally anywhere from 35. Sometimes you can get the regular strength at $25. But this company here is doing some really good things. 2505 Chambers Road. You can even call them at
314-795-3210. Excellent. Okay, so we only have 3 minutes left. Let me go ahead and shout out one last one. That would be Miss Yolanda Spivey of Michael Whitney Insurance. If you need a quote, please look her up on the internet. But it's been a pleasure, people. Thank you so much for joining us every week at 7 p.m. Standard Time on Thursdays. And just join us again every week. We appreciate it. Be blessed and have a great night. Yeah.